Hey everybody, and welcome to the Sportfolio Podcast. I'm your host, Mario Mergola. This is episode 3 of the show, and quite frankly, it actually wrote itself because I just witnessed what was maybe not the most common, because frequency-wise, it just doesn't happen that often, but the easiest mistake that I see people make when picking games against the spread. And that happened in week 6 of the 2018 NFL season, which is, for me, yesterday at the time of this recording. But it's something that happens every single year. It happens probably about once a year. I tweet after it happens, actually at Mario Mergola on Twitter if you want to follow. I try to tweet before it happens because it's just something that needs to be driven home 1,000 times. But I didn't yesterday because if you've been reading my stuff for years now, you've seen this play out, and you know, like, this is something that we don't do, but it's going to happen. So let me lay this out. Let me set the stage, and you tell me if I'm wrong. It's about a half hour before kickoff. You're sitting on your couch, getting all your snacks or drinks together. Maybe your friends are with you. Maybe you're texting them. But you're going through your lineups one more time, going through your picks one more time to make sure you didn't miss anything. You got your fantasy lineups, your season-long fantasy lineups, your daily fantasy lineups, and you want to make sure that nobody is inexplicably inactive or that somebody else that you didn't care about is going to miss the game and it actually bumps up the value of someone you were considering, right? You're checking all the wild elements that go into either picks or fantasy, and you're ready. You know, you've done all you can do. You've done your research. If you didn't read my column, you read someone else's column, and you went in with picks that you feel confident in. And then you find out that the starting quarterback of a team, which did not seem like he was in jeopardy, is inactive. And what do? The first thing you do is panic. I know it. You panic. Because even though we know what to do, we still panic. It's not a comforting feeling when a player you expected to be on the field, presumably playing well for the pick that you made, is now going to not be on the field, presumably playing well. In fact, he definitely won't be playing well because he won't be playing at all. So you're in a position where now you have to make a decision. You could do one of three things. You could either keep the pick or the player, for talking fantasy, but if that player is inactive, then obviously you can't keep him. But you have decisions to make about the surrounding cast. So you either keep the pick and or the surrounding player that is affected by this. You can swap out the pick to the other side. And again, in fantasy, swap it to, you know, if it's a wide receiver or if it's a quarterback and you feel confident in the game, you could swap it to the backup. Or you can make an entirely different pick altogether. Now, that's not always possible. If you have to pick every single game, like I do in my column, and I know many, many, many people do in pools, if you have to pick every game, then so be it. That third option is out. But if you don't have to flip picks to the other side or stay, if you don't have to make a pick on a specific game and an injury makes you panic, which it will, you can choose a third option of going elsewhere. However, I'm going to throw that one out because people just don't do it. I when I say I see it every time, I'm talking like I get bombarded with it every time. Twitter, texts, emails. So I know that just picking another game is not an option to many people. So I'll throw it out there because I'll throw it out essentially because I just don't buy into that being what many people do. So you have a player injured inexplicably or inexplicably to the sense that we didn't know this when we were making our original pick, when we were doing our original research. And then you have an inactive right before game time. What do you do? Now, I'll tell you what probably happened. You probably looked at the spreads, saw a number moving to confirm that this is already off balance. And after panicking, you probably flipped your pick. You probably switched to the wrong side. And I just let it slip by saying the wrong side because that's what it is. You just switched and took a loss where you had a win. And I mean every single time this happens. It's not always the wrong move, but it's always the wrong approach. And then it turns out to be the wrong move almost always. Nothing is perfect. Nothing's 100%. But it almost always backfires. Now, there's so many things at play, but I'll stick with the scenario of specifically watching this unfold. So again, sitting on your couch, see the pregame show, find out that the quarterback's inactive, and you freak out, and you make a rash decision to switch. Now, when you're switching, you're also looking at, like I said, you're looking at the spread, and you're seeing it's moving against you. So you have not just panic, but you have a time-sensitive panic. And I will give now this specific example of what happened in week six so that I could play it out with real numbers too. You picked the Miami Dolphins to beat the spread because not only was it one of my favorite picks as a confidence pick in my column, but I mentioned it multiple times in the first two episodes of the podcast. I mentioned Miami against the spread in last week's episode, and I mentioned, which is episode two, and I mentioned Chicago not covering their spread the next time they played, which was after the first episode. So you were already buying into Miami against the spread, and I had happened, and I don't do this a lot, but I happened to read elsewhere that Miami was considered a value pick by many people. So even if you didn't read mine, or if you read mine and you wanted a third-party confirmation, you got it. You got Miami as the pick, and you got them probably at 3.5 points, underdog by 3.5 points. So when you found out that Ryan Tannehill was going to be inactive, which was, at least to me, a pretty big surprise, so I assume it was a surprise to you, you then looked and said, all right, they're not going to cover the spread, or they're not going to beat the spread because they don't have their starting quarterback, which is mistake number one. It's the mistake that is driving this podcast. But maybe you don't know that. Maybe you stubbornly decided that, no, this is the time it's going to work. And actually, I should add, it's not just Ryan Tannehill that's out. It's Ryan Tannehill that's out, and Brock Osweiler is taking his place. You have quite possibly the most negative connotation you could attach to a quarterback who is now going to be sliding into the starting spot. How could you possibly feel confident in your original pick anymore? Because it's not like Ryan Tannehill is out and somebody, let's say like Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the backup. Not somebody who's necessarily going to guarantee a win, but somebody you could feel good about, right? I mean, there's always perception that goes into these picks, but there's also emotion, which is a problem, but there is emotion. So you look at the pick and you look at the news and you realize that it's not Ryan Tannehill. It's not even Teddy Bridgewater. It's Brock Osweiler, who has been nothing short of a disaster since getting an insanely huge contract a few years ago. I mean, we know the career path of Brock Osweiler, and that's the point. We know what to expect from Brock Osweiler. You know what we're going to expect? A bad performance. We're going to expect a loss. So you look now and you have a significant step down from the starting quarterback to the backup quarterback. You have a surprise move in the swap from the starting quarterback to the backup quarterback. And you are left now making a decision if you're going to make an equally risky move. I wouldn't say surprising because you're the one doing it. And when you look at the other number, the other side, you see 3.5. And now you're thinking, well, I've got value here. Because a minute later, and maybe not a minute, but a matter of minutes later, that number started to move up. So let's say that you saw it at 3.5 and you took a shot. You went, you know, I'm not gonna take a chance on this. I don't like the pick anymore of the Dolphins, and I gotta swap. I gotta switch sides and flip to the other side. So you take the Bears at -3.5. And now you're thinking that you're in a good spot because, again, it's Brock Osweiler. But what happens? The number keeps moving and it moves up. That spread goes from 3.5 to, I don't remember if it paused anywhere in between. I think it did. I think it went to 5.5, 6 for a minute. So let's say 6. Now, I know some of you out there did this. So please play this out with me because I want you to see what happened. You got the Bears at -3.5 after you swapped picks, not originally. If you had the Bears all along, so be it. This does not apply to you. But you had the Bears at -3.5 minutes after you found out that Ryan Tannehill wasn't playing. And then you saw it go to 6. And you know what you did? You got excited. You got happy. You thought you had a lock. You thought you had value. Now, maybe Some of you even like went in even more because you said, I'm covered at 3.5, but I'll also double down and get some more at minus 6. Maybe. I'm going to say you didn't do that because I don't really care at this point. What I care about is after getting it at minus 3.5. When you saw it at minus 6, you thought that you were sneaky enough to get great value. That, hey, people now have to pay a premium just to get the Bears, and they got to pay up to 6. I got it at 3.5. And I'm here to tell you that there is usually not value in the spreads unless there was always value in the spreads, at which case it's a trap. And you can take the value. It's good. That's where we make a lot of our confidence pick. It's where we make up a lot of ground, quite frankly, is on traps where the value is in our favor. But it was always in our favor. And the Dolphins were the value pick always in our favor. So there's one example, right? Like we knew from the beginning the Dolphins had value. So maybe you could argue that you think they lost value, but there are games that have value originally. They're just not the side that is the easy one to pick. If you had to pick the Dolphins minus plus 3.5 originally, you probably did it not easily. I mean, if you read multiple people's thoughts and came to the same conclusion, then sure. But it wasn't an easy pick to make, and that's why there was value there. You had to basically, you know, you had to put yourself out there. You had to put a little bit more on the line because of you know, the expectation of the Dolphins being able to cover against the Bears. But so be it. There's value in those where you've planned it out ahead of time. But I'm here to tell you, there is no value. There's absolutely no value to be found when on the fly a spread has to change because of news. Now, there's a common phrase in the investing world, and I don't claim to be nearly as proficient there as I am with football picks, but there's a common phrase that actually applies very well to picks. And that is, buy the rumor, sell the news. Now, the theory behind the phrase is that any price you're going to pay for something, anything that you look at that has a number that changes, when that number is rising or has risen, it almost always already factors in optimism, excitement, which I guess is the same thing, hope, and essentially the rumor that got it there. You know, the anticipation that, yeah, when this news breaks, it's going to be huge. And then when the news breaks, obviously there's nowhere else for it to go because the anticipation of the news, the rumor, is what drove the price. So now, oddly enough, there really wasn't a big rumor in the sense that Ryan Tannehill was going to be out. But if you remove that part of it, you still have the same commentary. And that is the optimism, the excitement, the anticipation is going to push the number much more than the actual outcome, the actual event. So when you see the number rising, and again, you had it at 3.5, now you see it at 6, I mean, it probably already anticipated the option that Miami could lose, right? I mean, like the Dolphins were underdog. You can make the argument that even with Ryan Tannehill there, Miami could have lost by 6. It's a football game. It happens. But you have the optimism pushing the number. And then the number actually moves to an even higher level. And you feel like you're smart because you got in at the rumor stage. Now, maybe that's true. And that's the only shred of maybe that still is your saving grace. It is that possibly the moving of the number did not factor in as much of the possibility of Ryan Tannehill missing the game as it should have. But, and I keep going back to this, that number was there all along and you didn't take it. When it was 3.5 and you thought Tannehill was there, you didn't take it. So you can't argue that that number was always attractive. It only appears attractive because the news broke that Tannehill wasn't there. And that's the point that I'm making with the rumor and the news analogy. It was always there. And there is not a chance that on the fly, you're going to get incredible value. You might get lucky. And then you'll send me a message and say, yeah, see, it, you know, it works. Yeah, okay, maybe it works once. the odds are not in your favor, because when people are making these numbers, when they're making the spreads, these are millions and millions of dollars at stake. Do you really think that you are the only person who saw that Brock Osweiler, a bad quarterback, was going to be starting for the Dolphins? You think you are the only one? And obviously, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to harp on anybody and make anyone feel bad about it. I'm trying to open your eyes to the mistake you've been making, because I guarantee you've been making this mistake. Do you think you're the only one who saw Tannehill being absent, saw 3.5, then saw 6, and was pleased to get the number at 3.5 because you thought you got value? Of course not. Which means everybody who got it at 3.5 did not get value. And definitely everybody that got it at 6 did not get value, because that's a higher number. So if you didn't get it at the lower number, you didn't get it at the higher number. And then there's still time before the game. Guess what happened? That number moved to 7.5. By the time the game kicked off, the Bears were 7.5-point favorites. And at 3.5, I mean, you're already counting your winnings. I know it. Because now you're thinking, man, there are people who had to pay a touchdown and then some in order to get the Bears. I got them at just more than a field goal. Now, obviously, I'm not even going to discuss the outcome of the game just yet. I just want you to hear the progression of thought and how similarly you probably followed it. Liked the Dolphins all along. Didn't like the fact that Tannehill wasn't there. Didn't like Brock Osweiler. Liked 3.5. Took 3.5 for the Bears. Saw it go to 6. Felt you got value. Saw it go to 7, 7.5. Felt you had the best value possible. And again, now just think about that. You probably felt it, right? Now apply that to thousands of people. Thousands of people had that same thought. And thousands of people bought in anywhere from 3.5 to 7.5. And if you want to say, let's say it was 100,000 people made that swap. It's probably much more than that, but let's say 100,000 people. If you want to say that 50% got it at 3.5, 25% got it at 6.5, and 25% got it at 7.5, you can make the argument that half of the 100,000 people are doing backflips and celebrating their wins at 3.5. And maybe 25% of the people who got it at 7.5 are still biting their nails, but they feel good, right? I mean, they don't feel they got value, but they feel good. And then the other 25,000 sitting at 6.5 or 6, they're feeling okay. They feel like, all right, I mean, just a touchdown. It's only a touchdown, which is another crazy thing I hear all the time. But you have these different groups of people. Now, do you really think that in that breakdown of percentage, that if the Bears win by 6, and let's say that 25,000 push, 25,000 lose, but 50,000 win, do you really think that those who make the spreads are going to just give away 50,000 picks of value? Absolutely not. That's why there's no value there. That's why it's not a swap worth making. Because you feel smart. You feel like you got in at a good number. And yet, that's just not, it's not going to, like, that's not happening. They're not giving, no one's giving you a discount because you were the first to realize that Brock Osweiler is bad. Because here's the thing. You were not the first to realize Brock Osweiler is bad. You know what would have happened, really? If there was a real concern that spread was in jeopardy, it wouldn't have gone to 3.5. It would have been off the board. You would have not been able to pick the game. And then, after everyone would have taken a deep breath, the number would have came out at like 7.5+. It might have come out at 10, for all I care. Meaning, if there was a legitimate fear that swap was going to cost the Dolphins not only the game, but the game against the spread, and there was a number out there that was dangerous that could have really buried the people who make the spreads, meaning 50,000 people out of 100,000 could have just had easy wins, they wouldn't have allowed 50,000 people to make that bet. They would have just taken it off the board. They would have paused. Nobody could make that bet. Nobody could make that pick. And then we'll reset. will think, will reconsider. I mean, there's still time before the game. They could have even not let the spread happen for the game. That's possible too. But I could see why that wouldn't want to be a thing. And if in the end they determine, yeah, this is gonna get ugly. This is gonna be bad. We can't give an easy number out there. Let's make it 10. If people still want to take it at 10, so be it. But we're gonna protect ourselves. That's a possibility. That's an option. That could have happened, but it didn't. Instead, there was really not any fear because 3.5 for the Dolphins was always good. But I said, all right, fine. You know what? Let's get some people at 3.5. In fact, I would argue that number was kept at 3.5 so that 50,000 people could actually place bigger bets on it. Meaning, why bump it up to 6 just yet? Let's see how many we can trap just on the straight up swap. Because again, there's time is not on your side. You're looking at this thing and you're thinking, it's like a half hour before the game. I got to get in here. And then you realize the number might move up. I got to get it fast. So you might be more willing to pay more. You might pay a premium. You might want to put more money into it because you think it's that good of a pick. So that doesn't happen if it's that good of a pick. But that's what we're here to take away from what happened just with the numbers alone. And that's before we actually even talk about what happened on the field. Because honestly, you know what happened. You know the Dolphins won. You know they at least beat the spread because you know that was what's going to happen that led to this conversation. What we haven't gone over yet is how and why. Like, how did Brock Osweiler not only beat the spread, but actually beat the Bears? Like, how did that come about? I mean, this is... As much as I talk about the numbers and talk about where value is, I mean, on the field, the team still has to play, right? The team still has to show up. Ironically enough, that's, of course, like the part that we can't control. That's the part that we have to just trust that what we're about to see is aligned with what we thought when we did our research. So I'll actually start with the research part of it. And here's the thing that you have to ask yourself. This is the encapsulation of every reason why swapping your pick for a single injury doesn't pay off. The question is, did I pick this team because of the player? That's it. Because there are certainly teams and certainly games where the answer is yes. And if that guy's injured, then you don't swap. Then I can consider swapping the pick. Which means if I'm picking the Patriots because Tom Brady is poised to have a good game, or I'm picking the Packers because Aaron Rodgers is poised to pick a good game, or I'm picking the Saints because Drew Brees is poised to pick a good game. And it's not just three random people who are poised to pick a good game. These are three elite options. If I'm picking the Seahawks because Russell Wilson is poised to have a big game, that is a fourth elite option. So the question is, again, am I picking this team because of this player? And is that player elite? If the answer is not yes, then you don't swap your pick ever. Ever, ever. Because how elite is Ryan Tannehill? He's not. Not only is he not elite, but think back to, like, I don't know, opening day. In my column I wrote to pick Miami, I picked Miami, and I was very, very, very in the minority on that one. I think they were playing the Titans at opening day, and I was in the vast minority of people who were picking Miami. So let's not act like Ryan Tannehill is somebody that everybody's looking to buy into every week like they would Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. So if the player is not elite, and you can't even begin to formulate an argument that would tell me Ryan Tannehill is elite, if the player's not at that upper echelon, then honestly, and this is going to sound mean, but it's the truth, who cares? Who cares if Ryan Tannehill or Brock Osweiler is under center in a specific Sunday matchup in which there was already a trap laid? Now, the flip side of this is that over the long stretch of time, yeah, it's catastrophic. I don't care if the player's not elite. If he's good enough to be the starting quarterback and he's somebody who has been effective, I shouldn't say great, but effective, losing that guy is a problem. Plain and simple. losing Ryan Tannehill for an extended period of time, which of right now I don't think is the case, but losing him for an extended period of time, that is a problem. But we're not looking for an extended period of time. And here's why. Even if the Dolphins didn't know Tannehill was injured, even if they didn't know that he was in jeopardy of missing the game, it is the Miami Dolphins' responsibility as an organization to prepare the backup quarterback in case of an injury to the starter. Which means the same game plan that was going to be used to allow Ryan Tannehill to lead the Dolphins to a sneaky victory or at least beat the spread is the same game plan that was eventually used for Brock Osweiler to lead the Dolphins to win and or beat the spread. Got that? The Dolphins game planned for the Bears. And as a side note, and this does not actually matter usually, but it matters here, I still believe Adam Gase is one of the top maybe three head coaches in the NFL. Like top three. He is one of the best coaches. So you have an underrated, outstanding head coach. And then you have a non-elite but effective quarterback who's going to not be there and instead give the ball to a not elite and generally ineffective quarterback. But that guy has one job. Brock Osweiler has one job on Sunday. That is to not cost his team the game. So think about that. You have Ryan Tannehill, who's not winning games on his own, in a position with an excellent head coach, with a game plan that already laid out a trap, on a team that was 3-0 at one point, so it was obviously not terrible, is still over 500 heading into the game. I mean, you have all these little factors, and you're going to tell me that the only reason why you're picking that game is because Ryan Tannehill is starting, and if he's not, I'm out? I mean, think about that. What you're basically saying is, if Tannehill's not there, I don't want any piece of the Dolphins. I mean, that is just a ludicrous way to look at it. But that's what happens, and that's why it fails. Because we're not talking about Russell Wilson. We're not talking about Tom Brady. We're talking about Ryan Tannehill. And the drop-off for 60 minutes of game time, 30 of which he's not even on the field, is not that huge for one player in one game. And of course, I feel like I have to give backup to this. So I have a few games. However, the only problem with this is it's somewhat of a subjective approach because how do you define elite? I'm defining it as a top five quarterback in the league for an extended period of time. And the type of player you would pick the game because of. So I'd pick a game because of Russell Wilson. I'd pick one because of Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. I would literally pick a team just because they're on the field and they're in such a position to thrive that they will lead or they can lead their team to victory. I don't see that about Ryan Tannehill. But I'll use a few other examples. Earlier this year we had one actually. Marcus Mariota in week 3. Now, Mariota was questionable for the game. They had announced eventually, and here's the weird part. They eventually announced that Mariota was active, but he wasn't going to start, which is just odd. It's just a weird approach because, I mean, I guess what you're saying is, and at the time they didn't have another backup, if Blaine Gabbert ends up being hurt, well, then we got to go to Mariota, but essentially it's Blaine Gabbert. But that was a game-time decision because Mariota was not, he was never inactive. He was, and I'm saying this because it's true, he was officially not inactive. So you had a last-minute decision where, now here's the flip side of it. I picked the Jaguars all along, so I was just wrong. And that's where I'm going. If you picked the Bears all along, this doesn't really apply to you because it means that you were on the wrong side of the pick. So be it. I was on the wrong side in week 3. But play it out with me because it's the same commentary. So let's say you were originally on the back in the Titans. Originally, you picking the Titans to win or cover. And that spread had always moved, actually. Now, there's the example of not knowing what to do, so taking the game off the board. That game did not have a spread for a very long time. I think it released on, like, Saturday. So the Jaguars and Titans had no spread because the people who make the odds, they didn't know what to expect in terms of who's playing. However, eventually a spread was released. eventually the game played. And if there were many people, if there were people, I should say, picking the Titans, and there weren't many. That's the truth. There were just not that many because people were still living off the Jaguars' defense from last year. The Titans had lost to the Dolphins in week one. So people were generally down on Tennessee. And then Marcus Mariota was hurt. But they didn't know how hurt he was. So already there was not a lot of support for Tennessee. But when it was clear that Mariota would not really be playing, anybody who was left on Tennessee probably switched sides. And Tennessee won outright because in a single game, when you're going from a non-elite quarterback to his backup, and you have the same game plan that was set up anyway, there's not that much of a drop-off. There's not that much opportunity for disaster. Now, you keep in mind, too, imagine you're like the linebacker on that team. You see your starting quarterback, whether it's Marcus Mariota, whether it's Ryan Tannehill, you see that guy not available for the game. You know what you're going to do? Let me ask you, are you going to mail it in? Are you going to phone that game in? Or are you going to just not show up? No. You're going to step up. You're going to try to pick up the slack of your teammate. You're going to say, all right, fine. Blaine Gabbert's under center. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that guy has to do as little as possible to win. Ryan Tannehill's not here. Brock Osweiler's going to play. Fine. I'm not going to let Brock Osweiler be the reason we lose this game. And the entire team rallies. Now, again, long stretch of time? No, this doesn't happen. A single game? Yes, it does. One single game, the entire team steps up because they know the absence of their quarterback is big. But it's made a lot smaller based on how they play. So you have usually contributions from everywhere. I think in that Tennessee-Jacksonville game, there was a special teams touchdown on a fake punt for the Titans. I think that was the game. So, and that might have actually been week two. But either way, you have contributions everywhere. Now, I'll give you one more. This is actually the one I usually point to. Opening day 2014. I know it's now a few years ago, but opening day 2014. Cam Newton is questionable for the game, playing against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. Again, an opening day game, so you've had all offseason to prepare, and all of a sudden you find out Newton might not play. And now you don't know what to do. It's the day of the game, and I remember this vividly because I'm sitting on my couch the same way I was when Ryan Tannehill was announced that he was inactive, the same way I was that Marcus Mariota was announced that he wouldn't play. And I got that same feeling, that same moment. Cam Newton, inactive. Backup's going to start. Backup is Derek Anderson. I mean, just think about the perception and drop-off from Cam Newton to Derek Anderson. But that's just a perception. In real life, in a single game, especially on opening day, where there have been weeks to prepare for this, it's not that big. And what happens? The Panthers went outright. They won 20-14. So you got three examples right there. I'm sure there are more, and I'm sure there's a few that work against this. But again, it's a subjective thing. The point is not that teams who use their backup quarterbacks win. Understand this. This is worth repeating and clarifying. The point is not that teams that use their backup quarterbacks are good or they win or they're even better value. The point is that if you originally found value with a team that now is using its backup quarterback, that value is still there. If you originally liked the team because of the starting quarterback, you have no reason to not like them because of the backup quarterback in a single game. Now, it's different over the course of a stretch of games or, you know, the remainder of a season, if that becomes a thing, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about one game in a standalone unit. And oddly enough, I know I spent a lot of time talking about just this one topic, but that is going to be the episode. That is going to be the entirety of this discussion. But we do have one game that does actually fit this mold, depending on what side you're on. And that is, again, to drive home the last point, what ultimately matters if whether you're going to get value or not. And believe it or not, it's with the player we mentioned already. So the Buffalo Bills are, Josh Allen, quarterback of the Bills, is injured. And the Buffalo Bills are finally, finally, finally realizing that they just can't continue to roll Nathan Peterman out there on the field and expect it to not go terribly. Now, I know guy's a professional. I get it. But there's a limit. And I don't mean to dismiss him as a person or as any level of football player outside of the top 32 in the world. However, he is probably 33rd of the 32, which means there has to be a better option elsewhere. And it looks like Buffalo finally saw that. Now, whether it's a legitimate option, that remains to be seen. But listen to the name of the player the Buffalo Bills are starting at quarterback, and let me know if it rings any bell to what I just mentioned. Derek Anderson. I mean, what are the odds? What are the odds that the prime example I use as why you don't swap a pick because of a quarterback is also the quarterback that is being swapped into the position? But here's where we get to hold firm, because this is the decision-making point that is irrelevant when it comes to the quarterback. That is, in this particular game, which is the Buffalo Bills at the Indianapolis Colts, who were you picking originally? If you were picking the Colts originally, then quite frankly, nothing should change. If you were picking Buffalo originally, whether you were banking on Josh Allen being, it was pretty clear he was not going to play, but if you were banking on some sort of miracle, then you should not be changing because of the swap to Derek Anderson. And here's the craziest part of it. If you were picking the Colts and you don't know who you're playing against, you don't know who who the opposing quarterback is in your pick, I would be much more concerned by facing Derek Anderson than facing Nathan Peterman, which is unfortunately another indictment on Peterman, but it's also an indication that we don't know what we're getting from Derek Anderson. And that's kind of the point. That's one of the reasons why the backup has value in these late swap moments, because you just don't know what you're going to get. You don't know if the guy is better than we realize. You don't know if he's more in tune than we realize. Now, personally, I do not think that's the case, and I am picking the Colts. I'll throw it right out there. But it's not a confidence pick. It's not a pick that I went through and broke down like I did the other ones on the show. So it's just one of many picks, and I liked the Indianapolis Colts for reasons other than the opposing quarterback. So the swap of the opposing quarterback doesn't actually do much to change my mind. That's where you have to be with this. If you weren't concerned by the quarterback originally, then you should not be concerned when there's a swap. And that's my case right now. Now, you may view it differently, and if you do, I urge you, if you liked the Bills before you knew who the quarterback was, you should still like the Bills after you know who the quarterback is. And I'm telling you, the news right now is that it's Derek Anderson, and that worries me more than if it were Nathan Peterman. So, I mean, there is the entirety of this issue in a nutshell. If you like the opponent from the beginning and there's a swap made and that swap is not including one of the elite quarterbacks, I mean, this is it in real example, then you don't swap away from it. If you liked the original, if you liked the team with the change at quarterback prior to the change at quarterback, then you should still like them afterwards. I mean, essentially what I'm saying is you don't change either side of the pick for the quarterback unless we're talking Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, or if I'm missing a fifth, elite, win the game on that guy's arm quarterback. If that's not at play, then you don't move. I mean, and you could actually see this with the spreads. When Aaron Rodgers was hurt and there was question marks about his status, the spread moved like crazy. I mean, I think last year when he got hurt against Minnesota, I don't remember if it happened last year when he got hurt against Minnesota, but there was a point where I believe it was Rodgers who was questionable for a game. He turned out being out. Now, this might have been the game after he got hurt, so his first start that was in jeopardy. And when he wasn't starting, I mean, the spread was insane. I mean, it was maybe 7-point swing, which is just, you know, incredible. But that's what we're talking about. If we're talking about a quarterback who swings a spread by 5 or more points, those are the only guys we care about. Those are the only ones we watch and say, all right, if that one inexplicably is not starting, well, then we have to, you know, we got to scale back a little bit. But other than that, we're not concerned. So I'll leave you with that for this episode. This will probably end up being a shorter one. Unfortunately, I didn't go through and make a live pick, which I really like doing. But it's mainly because this is an episode that I believe everybody should hear at any point. This is the one that I see causing the most mistakes and heartache. And, I mean, quite frankly, like, if you're not going to take the picks, which is fine, I want you to at least take the mindset. So my job, if nothing else, is to share the mindset and get you to understand that this is why these things go wrong. This is, mathematically speaking, why it fails. So if you want to fail by fighting math, go for it. But I don't think you should, because I don't think you have to. And that's the point here. So thank you, as always, for listening. I'll throw the same thing out there this episode that I have in the past. If you like what I have to say and you want to read the picks, first of all, go to sportfolio.com, S-P-O-R-F-O-L-I-O. Always the introduction and like the first half of the first pick is out there for anyone to read. So you can just kind of get a sense of my writing style. If you like it, you want to keep going, you want to get the picks, put the promo code podcast in the little promo code box when you sign up, and I'll take 10% off any package's first payment. And as always, I recommend the yearly one, not because it's the biggest one, but because you get the biggest savings on the biggest one. But proceed however you're comfortable. If not, I am on Twitter at Mario Mergola, and obviously this podcast is, now if you're this far into it, I assume that you maybe didn't even like it, but tolerated it. So you can subscribe. We're now on iTunes. And hopefully if you did like us, give us a rating. So thank you as always for listening, and good luck.